second team.
Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
It's Thursday, and that means it's time for College Football Insiders. I'm your show host tonight, Bo Marchant. My main man, Dan Mugignon, and the rest of the guys have the night off. They have some other engagements, but I'm here, hopefully, to take you through an hour of some fun-filled football action. I'm very happy to say tonight we're going to have the BCS. Mr. Bill Hancock himself will be joining us, and it'll be a great time to get those bowl questions out there. I know there's always a lot of intrigue and controversy with that. And then towards the tail end of the show tonight, we're going to have another Kent State Golden Flash. It's going to be Brian Lanehart. He was a second-team All-MAC from the free safety position. And that's definitely one of the players that the Kent State fans and alum are going to be missing, seeing him roaming that secondary for them. But a lot to get into for tonight's show. I mean, the bowl games are going to be coming up. And throughout the show, I'm going to be hitting stuff off to my man Jay Davis. He's going to be helping me out doing a few things as we go along. But, looking at this college bowl season and some of the bowl games, I was looking at stuff, thinking to myself, I mean, what bowl games would you actually want to attend if you could, besides the big BCS bowls, your Auburn, Oregon, there's some, I was looking because I'm, planning to attend a bowl game. When I was looking at the list of bowl games to attend, you kind of look at these matchups, and if you're not a fan of these teams, you kind of wonder why you would actually maybe do one of these games, unless you're just a passionate college football fan, and no matter who lines up between the hashes, you're going to attend the game. But, I mean, Jay, looking at these games for myself, I was looking at a game, Detroit, the Little Caesars Bowl, we're looking at Toledo and Florida International. I mean, a game like that, the day after Christmas, 8:30 ESPN. I mean, a game like that when you're thinking about it. Yeah, yeah. So, when you're looking at games like that, I think that's the big thing about the bowl. When Bill hits us up on the show tonight, the thing I want to look at, everyone is with the bowl games and the playoff system. I think there's a part we're missing is – the kids that are involved in this game. And for them, this is an achievement of playing a year of football, and this is kind of like their, hey, we accomplished what we did. We earned this bowl right. And then there's goodie bags. And if you start looking into some of the things they receive in these goodie bags, I believe, and this was a few years ago, I don't know if that price has increased, but there was a $500 limit per bag per player. And in these bags, these guys are going to get flip cams, iPhones, iPods, all kinds of different things. I know one of the most bizarre things is I think one year a bowl put a hairdryer in the gift bags, which I remember the players thought was kind of strange that they would get a hairdryer bag. But, a lot of neat gadgets these guys get for the bowl week, and they're treated like kings, and they do a lot of special things. And, when you look back for these kids that go to these bowl games, no matter if it is the Little Caesars Bowl and you have teams like Toledo and Florida International, not the big names like a Mississippi State and Michigan playing in the Gator, bowl down in Jacksonville. When you look at these teams and what they accomplish, I just think it takes a little bit of the emphasis away from all the hype that's always surrounded the BCS and then the playoff system and the playoff system versus the BCS and all the ho-hum stuff that comes with that type of thing. So, when you start to put in perspective the players, you put the players first, not the fans and not the school. If you put the players first, and I know Dan Mugignon, when he was at the Hall of Fame stuff, or I'm sorry, the Hall of Fame, when he was at the Heisman over the weekend, he talked to a lot of those guys. And he found a hard-pressed audience from the player side of things to disagree with that statement. That, these guys, this is a year-long achievement to reach the bowl game. And granted, you want to go to the title bowl or any of the BCS bowls, but any of these bowls, that's a work of their, accomplishment of their work for the season that they put in. So, if you ask the guys that are playing in the, let's just say Alabama. Alabama, they're going to play Michigan State in the Capital One Bowl. So Alabama, if they would play, say Oregon. They say Oregon in the opening round of these futuristic playoff systems. you know, it would just be a simple game. You go on the road, you play Oregon, you either win or lose, and you move on. You know, so it's not like a, you know, and if they lose, then you could say, well, what happened this year? Well, nothing. We went to Oregon and we lost. You know, did you get a bowl ring? Did you get the bowl atmosphere? No, you did nothing. You just went on the road. You flew halfway across the United States. You know, you got it handed to you, and now you're back home, and you got nothing to show for. So, you know, I think when you look at little things like that, you know, and me and Dan talked about it earlier because we had a couple kids we did some player spotlight shows on, and, you know, we asked them the same question. And, they, you know, they were kind of, you know, Chris Marsh, he went to Utah State, you know, and obviously the WAC with Boise State and all the, you know, the BCS stuff surrounding them and a team like TCU. I mean, it makes you wonder. And those, the kids themselves, you know, they weren't very you know, I think they're in favor of the bowl system, to be honest with you. I guess it's kind of like, you know, you go to your job, you get paid, you get to work, and you get some vacation time. You know, and after a long year, maybe you get that bonus at the end of Christmas. That's kind of what these kids are going through when they earn these bowl games. You know, they're going to college, they're playing football, they got a lot on their plate. You know, they earn the right to go to a bowl game and kind of be treated like a celebrity for a week and really, really enjoy a lot of neat things that people can't put in place. And, like I said, I mean, it comes down to money for the playoff system and these bowl games, and, you know, I don't think anyone's going to ever get past that. And I know when you get done listening to the show tonight, you're going to think I'm a big proponent or proponent for, you know, a non-playoff system, though I would love to see a playoff system. But that said, I mean, if you think about what the players want, it does seem like they do like the idea of having a bowl game. And like I said, it's a lot has to do with, you know, the bowl ranking system, and people complain. You know, this is where I was going with that. I mean, we have Oregon and Auburn playing in the national championship game. So, I mean, you have the two top teams. You can always – there's always going to be that thing, well, hey, this team. But I think it's a pretty clear-cut argument that these are the top two teams playing in the championship game. And I know prior to the bowl system, that didn't happen too often. It was some ungodly amount of numbers. I know last time we had Bill Hancock on the show, we discussed it. And, you know, since the, you know, beginning of the BCS, I mean, the top two teams, you know, granted they're ranked that, but, you know, they meet in that bowl championship game. I mean, you watch the SMU show?
Yes.
Yeah, you watch the SMU show. I mean, when they had Dickerson on there and Dickerson was talking about the, you know, the year that they didn't actually lose, they tied, but they gave it to Penn State,
yeah.
You know? So, I mean, if there was a bowl system in place, BCS, hypothetically, they would have been maybe ranked 1 and 2. They at least would have played for it.
Yeah, exactly.
Instead of a Rose Bowl, where I think they were independent back then. Penn State wasn't in the Big Ten.
No, they weren't.
So, I mean, you have that. But, you know, I mean, you look at a thing like that, I really think that does change the outlook of, I mean, under the BCS system, they are getting the top teams. Granted, they're kind of pre-ranked, so you're always going to get the top teams within reason. You know, but, you know, I think anyone out there, and I guess my biggest thing, and I'm going to ask Bill this when he comes on the show tonight, too, is, you know, a team like TCU or Boise State, you know, the WAC, you know, Southwest Conference, I mean, Mountain West even. I mean, if you're not going to really give the teams a legitimate shot, if you're giving them this outright, you know, I mean, there's only so much they can do. They can play and win all their games, and that's it. I don't, you know, so I think they're a little bit behind the eight ball there. They're not, I mean, given a fair shake. I mean, to do what Oregon did, and even take the Pac-10 was kind of quiet this year. But, I mean, Auburn, and even Auburn beat a down SEC division. I mean, Florida was down, Georgia was down. I mean, South Carolina is just here and miss. Alabama was off. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, so it's not like this is an Auburn team that just ran roughshod over the SEC that we've seen over the last few years. This is, you know, thoughts, right?
I think TCU got more of a fair shot this year than ever, though. I mean, being preseason ranked so high up there, I think that helped them out a ton. I mean, going to the Rose Bowl is still a huge accomplishment for a TCU team that before, I mean, would have been out of the BCS.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you look at the, you know, like a team like TCU, and I think that was I think they kind of deserve that credit for the teams that Gary Patterson has put together. You look at what he's been defensive strong. So I think, you know, you almost build that street cred. Hey, they've been here before. They've done it. They can keep, you know, moving in that way. I'm going to show host Bill Marsh show now, and then we're going to be joined with my man Jay Davis. He'll be helping getting us some stats up as we go through the show. Looking tonight, we're going to have BCS director Bill Hancock joining us. We're also going to have Brian Lanehart, the free safety, 2010 second team All-MAC. I believe he third in the Kent State history with, I think, 15 interceptions. Yeah, so, I mean, he's a, you know what, and when you watch Kent State play, I mean, him and Cabrini mixing the two guys that they're going to be missing. I mean, that's, that was the heart of the defense. I know they got that Roosevelt Mick, the kid who got the MAC Defensive Player of the Year for them, but a nice young talent. But those two guys, anyone who's followed the Kent State Flashes, those particular names, Mixon and Lanehart, you heard them almost every other play because they're, I mean, Lanehart was just a tackling machine, and the Mixon the same. And like I said, those guys are going to be joining us as we dive into it as this whole bowl system gets going. And you know what that means, folks. I mean, the college season's about to wrap up. We've got a lot of bowl action that's going to be starting up. I mean, the first game is, I think, what, Friday? Tomorrow, Saturday, 18th? What's today?
16th.
The 16th? Yeah, so Saturday. Saturday, I mean, it starts Brigham Young versus Texas El Paso in the Albuquerque Bowl. So, I mean, it starts, and then, you know, I'm sure all you guys are bowl sheets done and your pick'em sheets for the bowl. You doing any bowl sheets today?
Fair share.
How many do you throw down? How many sheets do you do now?
Two.
Is there a max two?
I try to, because then you pick everybody if you do more than two.
Yeah. I don't do any. One anyways. It's not like I'm saving myself any money by not doing it, but I can guarantee yeah, it would be an unsuccessful attempt for me to do anything along those lines because, like I said, two things. I remember leaving the pit. I don't know if it was who Pitt played the particular day, but it was West Virginia Pitt, or it was Alabama when they played Auburn. I'd have bet the house Alabama would have won that game. I would have bet everything I had, and then I would have doubled down on whatever I had because I thought that confident. When I heard the score, I was walking out of Heinz Field. I heard the score. It was like, what, 27 or 24 to 7, 21.
Yeah.
But Alabama was handling them. And I was so mad. By the time I got to my car, I turned on the radio, and it's like, they're like, the biggest comeback Cam Newton made this today. And I had to be, so, you know, but I should have learned my lesson even prior to that because prior to that, I was laughing because I really thought Northwestern was going to be able to beat Penn State at home. That score was 21-0 at halftime. Jay, I was doing a sip. I thought, for sure, all the money I could have won if I had bet that football game, Penn State comes back with 35-21. So, again, two games I thought for sure I won, but I ended up losing. I mean, now you're a Notre Dame guy, so I know that, you know, with Notre Dame. I mean, for you with Notre Dame, you're looking at that game. I mean, an honest assessment, it's not as a fan's assessment. I mean, do you think Notre Dame has a chance against Miami?
They have a chance, but it's going to be a tough challenge. I mean, Miami's defensive line's loaded this year. They got that bad defensive end. He's going to cause problems for Notre Dame in that game. I mean, especially with an inexperienced quarterback. I mean, if they get the run game going, they could have a shot, but that's a big – it's going to be a big step for them that game.
Yeah. Thanks. And once again, we're here in the College Football Insider Show. I'm your host, Bo Marchant. And like I said, we have Mr. Bill Hancock, the director of the BCS, joining us now. Bill, how you doing?
Hey, Bo, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. We're just talking some bowl games here. And I know we talked the other day, and it was weird because Daniel Gagnon, who's the editor of College Football Insiders, we were talking this afternoon, and it kind of was like – you know, it hit us time. We always take the player out of the equation. We always talk about the playoffs, and we talk about the BCS. We talk about the schools. They talk about money. But nobody really talks about the players. And he was at the Heisman over the weekend, and he talked to a lot of those guys. And a lot of those guys were in favor of the bull. And, I mean, obviously they're in favor of them. But take us a little bit through, I mean, what would we say Ohio State around?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm having a little trouble hearing you.
I'm sorry. How much didn't you hear? And then I'll go back.
You said your colleague was at the Heisman, and then you kind of faded out.
Okay. Yeah, our man Dan Moore at the Heisman. They like the bowl experience. They would prefer that. The guys he talked to. And, I was saying, I think a lot of times we lose track of what – well, you know, what the players.
Yeah, and we try to
keep.
Oh, goodness, Bo, I hope you can hear me. We try to keep the focus on the players. We think that's important.
Yeah.
And their voice is not heard sometimes, and it needs to be.
Yeah, and when these guys get there, I mean, talk about, you know, what will these guys experience, you know, going to a bowl?
It's a wonderful experience. It's a 6-day, I don't want to call it a holiday, but because the guys are there to play a football game and they practice, but they get to do what they love, which is playing football with whom they enjoy doing it with, of course, their teammates. And they're the talk of the town wherever they go. For 6 days, they get to see a different culture. You know, they'll visit hospitals and military bases, and just I think the joy of being with their teammates in a different culture is what makes the bowls special. And I think you can look no further than New York City, for example, where Kansas State and Syracuse will play in the Pinstripe Bowl. And I love to think about all those kids from Kansas who are getting to go to New York City for the first time. They'll go to Times Square, they'll ride the subway, they'll take the Gray Line tour, and their eyes will be as big as pizzas. They're in for the experience of a lifetime, and goodness, some of them may never go back to New York City again. And to me, that says it all. That's what the bowl system is all about.
Yeah, I do. Like I said, and I know we touched on it briefly. I mean, I think that's a great point. I mean, the players do enjoy it. And we were talking about the goodie bags these players get. I mean, that those seem like those guys get some really neat things. I mean, I saw iPods and cameras and whatnot. I mean, the last article I read, I think the limit was like 500 per player. Has that increased?
You know, I should know that, Bo. But I don't, but I think that's the right amount. It's a limit that the NCAA has established, and you're right. The bowls do it upright, and the athletes love it.
Nice, nice. And, you know, Bill, we've had you fortunate enough to have you on the show a couple times, and I think the first time we had you on it was prior to the season, and it looked like Alabama, the overwhelming favorite to kind of repeat, at least get back to the title game. I mean, Auburn and Oregon, I mean, of all the bowl games, I mean, is that the one you're going to be attending, or will you kind of make your visit through, for more than one?
I'm planning to see 5 games as it stands right now, and I'm looking forward to all of those, in particular the championship game. I think they may have to reset the scoreboard. I mean, it may be 92-90 by the time that game's over.
And so will you. Will you be doing all the 5, obviously the 5 BCS bowls, or would it be a bowl that's non-BCS you'll attend?
I will see 1 of non-BCS and then 4 of the BCS games. 2 of our games are the same day, of course, Rose and Fiesta, so I won't be able to see both of those, but the others I will see. And the pageantry and the excitement of a bowl game is something special, and I just I think all the fans who get to go will be very lucky.
Nice, nice. Once again, the director of the BCS, Mr. Bill Hancock, joining us here on the College Football Insider Show. I'm your host, Bill Marchand. It's powered by All Access Football. I mean, looking at, you know, all the games, I mean, is there any games that you just kind of, you know, for some reason, just the matchup or intrigue of that game, is there anything that you're kind of keeping your eye on? Any games that, you know, you might not be attending, but you really just want to see what the result is?
Well, of course, the championship game, but I'm really intrigued by all of the BCS games. The Stanford-Virginia Tech matchup is fascinating to me. Virginia Tech is such a hot team right now, and, of course, Stanford had a wonderful season. They have such different styles, 2 terrific quarterbacks. They've never played each other, and I'm really looking forward to that game. And also Arkansas-Ohio State for pretty much the same reasons. And I'm fascinated by the Oklahoma-Connecticut matchup. I think Connecticut, in starting about next week, I think they'll become viewed as the Cinderella of the BCS, and that's probably the way it should be. They'll probably be the team that'll the underdog that lots of people will be pulling for. Both very well coached. We know what Oklahoma can do, and Bob Stoops is just a wonderful guy and a wonderful coach, and the same for Randy Edsall. I'm just fascinated by that matchup. And then, of course, golly, how can anyone not want to watch TCU-Wisconsin? Goodness gracious. There, again, 2 wonderful coaches that any of your listeners would enjoy sitting down and having a root beer float with. They're just two intelligent people, really engaging people, and they're what's right about college football. And of course, two programs that both have great tradition. Although TCU is viewed as Cinderella, but of course, those of us 60 and over certainly remember the days of the TCU powerhouses. So that one, I don't know, that one's just fascinating to me. So I'm really just in love with all five of our matchups.
Yeah, they are great matchups. And I was telling the listeners prior to you coming on, I mean, the success of the BCS, I mean, if people don't like it or not, I mean, they do have the number one and number two meeting. I mean, and so, I mean, people can't argue. I mean, Oregon and Auburn are meeting in the title game. So, I mean, I don't think there is much left to the doubt about that. And I know that probably has to really take an ease off your mind that there can't be any controversy that somebody didn't make it. I mean, you got to love the idea that Auburn and Oregon are going to be a fitting and, I think, fun-filled game for everyone to watch.
That's right, Bo. I think, once again, we have the teams that everybody wants to see. And people have said to me, hey, the BCS, once again, it worked. And I'd like to hear that, of course. But my idea about the BCS working is even more basic than that. It works when you have a compelling regular season where you have to tune in every week and pay attention to what's happening because something incredible will, where really the regular season is the playoff. And then it also works because we have these bowl experiences that we talked about a minute ago where all those athletes will get to spend 5 or 6 days in a different culture enjoying themselves. So to me, that's what makes the BCS work. When people say the BCS worked again, I think, yeah, we do have a great championship game, but we also have a great regular season and a great bowl system.
Nice. And, I mean, is this your favorite time of the year? I mean, is this the hands down? I mean, there's something else you might enjoy? I mean, but is this it?
I love this time of year. You and I have had these conversations. I guess my favorite day of the year is Patriots Day when I can sit back and watch the Boston Marathon on television. And having run Boston myself, I have special feelings about that. And I don't know, Bo, I don't know if your listeners know that you are quite a marathoner yourself.
Yeah, I bring it up every now and then. If they listen enough, they might know. I know they probably know it, you know, maybe a couple days after if I'm complaining about how my body feels.
We marathoners don't complain, do we?
No, we complain maybe during the race, but, you know, after that, it's a pretty, you know, after you do it, you've done so many great things, you know, with riding your bike across the country a few times and the stuff you've done. I think people almost become numb to what you do. You know, if you rode your bike again across the country, you know, your family would probably be like, oh, that's great, Dad, or that's great, Bill, you know, keep going. You know what I mean? But the first couple times you do it, it's like, oh, man, you know, they'll make sure they're off and they're going to take, you know, I mean, my wife and kids don't even bother coming to the marathon sometimes if it's out of the way. They're like, do we have to go? I'm like, no, you don't have to go.
I get that.
The first
totally
couple though, was a whole big family event.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, I get that. It does become routine, but I think running is such a great sport, and almost anyone can do it. You don't have to have any talent. I know in my 15 marathons, I never felt like I was as near as talented as the rest of the runners around me. But it was just something that I thought I'd like to do, and you can just do it if you want to. That's what it boils down to.
Oh, yeah, Bill, that's right. I mean, a lot of people, that talk to me about running, I tell them the same thing. I mean, you're running against yourself because there's always going to be somebody faster than you. You know, and there's guys that, you know, I mean, there's people in the Olympics that, you know, they're running sub 4 minute miles and they're not going to make it. So,
yeah.
I mean, I don't know how much quicker, you know what I mean? So, I mean, yeah, there's always somebody better. Well,
yep.
Hey, I don't know if I can get one before I let you go tonight, but do you want to give us a prediction on who do you think might win the Auburn-Oregon game?
You know, I change every day. Yesterday I thought probably had about decided that Auburn was going to win, and this morning I woke up and I thought, you know what, I think Oregon's going to win. So I'll probably have a different mindset tomorrow. I think we're all just going to have to tune in and show up, those of us who are lucky enough to show up, and see what happens.
Excellent. Well, hey, Bill, we appreciate you coming on the show. We know this is the busiest time of year, so we appreciate you coming on. Hey, have a Merry Christmas, and I hope to talk to you, you know, as the new year unfolds.
Thank you, Bo. Merry Christmas to you, and let's do it again sometime soon.
All right. Thank you, man. Enjoy those bowl games.
Thank you. Take care.
No problem. That's Bill Hancock, the director of CBS, joining us here on the College Football Insider Show. You know, and Jay, when you listen to Bill, people, they don't want to hear that he's a nice guy. It doesn't make it change the fact that, you know, but, I mean, when you're talking about a top-shelf individual, great man, and his story, just, I mean, Olympics, he was the director of the Olympics. I mean, the Final Four, I mean, he did March Madness for years. You know, and the guy's just, you know, he has it together. He rode his bike across the United States, I think, once. He rode from Mexico to Canada once. I think he wrote a book, Riding with the Blue Moth, or something with the Blue Moth. But it's a good read. I actually ordered it off of Amazon. It's kind of hard, you know, I don't know if, you know, with the publishing. But, obviously I think he was going to agree with this. But, I mean, you kind of got the perspective. I mean, it is like a holiday for these guys. I mean, so if you're a kid, I mean, just if you're, you know, you're Notre Dame, would you rather have an option to play Alabama down in Birmingham? Or would you rather go spend a week, you know, and...
Definitely. I think the important thing is, and like he touched on, the kids come first in this bowl system, and that's what it's all about. The kids just enjoying that week, enjoying the parades most of the bowls put on, enjoying, like, the bowling competitions they put on between the teams. I mean, and like you said, the gift bags. I think it's great.
Yeah, and I was fortunate enough to go to the Cotton Bowl last year, and just the way that the media is treated, I mean, it was unbelievable. I mean, they raffled off 4 plasma televisions. You know, for playing the Wii, ping pong, pool, and there was one more event. I didn't win any of them.
I was going to say, did you win?
No, I didn't win. Well, I'm not good on the Wii. You're a Wii man. You're Xbox. You're going to do good on the Xbox and the Wii. Ping pong, there was some talented
Olympic
ping
qualifiers.
Yeah. I think they got them off, some Olympic teams from Asia or something, because they were very talented in the realm of ping pong. And then pool, I just stink at. And I'm trying to think what the other one was. There was another goofy one, but like I said, none of them, and then second place was AT&T. They gave away phones. And then the third was a gigantic remote control car. It had to be like 15 inches high and like 20 inches long. It was a massive remote control car. Like, I'm small enough I could have rode in it. Yeah. Well, once again, you're here on the NFL or the College Football Insiders show, and our main man, Dan Mogagnon, has the night off, but there you got to listen to Bill Hancock, the director of the BCS, joining us. And we're also going to have Brian Lanehart. He's the Kent State free safety, and he's projected to be a 6th-7th round pick in this upcoming April draft. He's going to be a very busy man. I know these guys start to hit the combine training type facilities. They're going to start hitting those right after the first of the year. I talked to the people from Ignition Sports down in Cincinnati today. I know they have a couple kids there training right now, and they're going to get some more, the bulk of the kids right after the first of the year, and then away they go. I mean, constant training, constant harassing by goofballs like myself, looking for interviews and anything else, and then agents, financial agents working out. NFL teams, everybody trying to get some kind of piece of information on you, and they want a piece of you. It's a very trying time for these guys, but I do know this, Jay. I called like 7 kids today, and they all at least have been informed that they don't turn their phones off, but it just goes straight to voicemail. So nobody's picking up.
Very busy time.
Yeah, so at least they got that much done. Whoever is handling the kids or agents or friends, family, at least the kids know that, hey, you just don't want to be picking up the phone, because you're gonna have a lot of calls coming at this time of year. And earlier today we talked to Curtis Marsh, Utah State Aggie. He did a player spotlight show for us earlier. You can find that on the NFL Draft Bible site. And last week we talked with Jeremy LaFrance, Akron Zips wide receiver, another player with aspirations to make it to the next level. I know I talked with a few scouts. And the kid has a real shot to make it to the next level. Nice size. I'm like 6'1", 190, something like that. I mean, he's a nice kid. Yeah, he's a nice good kid. I think the big thing for him is he's going to have to worry about that 40 time. He's going to want to be right in that 4.5. You know, if he goes anything higher than that, I think they're going to worry that they're going to think he's going to be flow.
Liability.
Yeah. So, you know, they love to see those cuckoo crazy, you know, times. So, I mean, when those guys put those fast times up and, they get them on, that's the key, I think, getting those, obviously, those good 40 times. But, you know, going in when you know what you have to do, that's the thing, half the battle. So, but again, at this time of year, everybody runs 4.3s until that clock flies up, and then they, you know what I mean. You'll hear stories. What's he running? 4.2, 4.2. And he goes to Indy and he runs a 4.8.
Yeah,
it's a bad run, bad turn. Right now, I promise you, we'd be talking with Brian Lanehart, the 2010 second team All MAC free safety from the Kent State Golden Flashes. Brian, how you doing tonight? Brian, you there?
Yeah, I
can hear you great. How you doing tonight, my man?
I'm good. How you doing?
I'm good. Now, we were just talking prior to you coming on the show. I was telling Jay about how Kent State fans are going to really miss hearing those names, Lanehart and Mixon, at the end of those defensive plays, because you guys made so many plays. I mean, you had a lot of success at Kent State. You had your ups and downs, but any. He's gonna go on, and now you're at the next step in your life.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I'm excited. You know, I'm gonna miss Kent. You know, I graduate on Saturday, and then I head out. But you know, it's bittersweet. You know, I'm excited to move on. You know, like you said, go to the next step in my life. But I'm also, you know, gonna miss the times I've had here at Kent. They're nothing but great things to me.
Yeah. And, I mean, obviously, Coach Doug Martin, he resigned after this season. Did you talk to him afterwards, and what was said?
Yeah, I talked to him. I actually had dinner with him on Sunday, you know, just him and his wife. You know, they've really helped me out up here. You know, they're like my parents away from home ever since I came up here, you know. Been grateful for the opportunity they gave me. And, you know, he's just going to take time. He's going to, you know, relax, get away from football for a little while. You know, quit worrying about it so much. But I think it's good for him, you know. Yeah, obviously, he doesn't want to leave the program, but he did. You know, you got to respect his decision, and we all do. We all wish him the best of luck.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I mean, yeah, it seemed like a great man. I know he was always courteous and treated us well here at the College Football Insiders, helping us out whenever we needed it. I mean, for you, I mean, your own personal achievements on the field, I mean, was there anything that you didn't accomplish while you were at Kent State, personal or team?
Obviously, you know, every year our goal was to win the MAC East and go to a bowl game. We fell short of that the 4 years that I've been here. And, you know, all the individual awards, you know, I've accomplished that one, to have been on All-American teams and, you know, All-MAC teams, stuff like that. But, you know, just the team goals just really gets me, you know, trying to, you know, me and Cabrini obviously live together. We're captains and best friends and all that. And our goal, you know, is to be the captains that, you know, took Kent to a first bowl game in 30 years, and, you know, we didn't get to do that, and that's the thing I regret the most.
Yeah, it has to be a bittersweet kind of not getting, you know, that when you kind of set that big goal and, you know, it can't come. I mean, looking forward, you know, you say you graduate Saturday. Congratulations. What's your major?
Major in educational studies.
Nice. And you're going to be all wrapped up Saturday, huh?
Yeah, you graduate at 10:30, and then I fly out down to Nashville at 4, so kind of out of here rather quickly, actually.
Nice. Now, are you from Nashville?
No, I'm from Cincinnati.
Okay, actually, that's what I thought.
Yeah.
Okay, and where do you plan on doing your training at?
Either at D1 down in Nashville or Ignition in Cincinnati.
Okay.
So I'm
going to
go down
you're
Nashville
go to
Nashville for a week because I've never been there. Huh?
Okay. So are you going to be working with Ted and Ignition?
Yeah. You know, Ted's my boy. So I'm going to go down to Nashville because, you know, I've never been down there, and I'm going to try this facility out. I heard great things about it. And then, you know, I'm going to go there for a week until like the 23rd, and then I'll probably end up going back to Ignition, to be quite honest. I don't know. So.
Okay. I actually talked to Ted earlier today. I planned on going down there in February just to do some work on the – and, like, kind of write up and do some stuff on the facility.
Okay, so, yeah.
We might see you. Yeah. We'll get a bench pressing contest. How's that sound?
I think you'll win. I don't know.
Dude, I weigh like 135 pounds. I think it'll be all right. I could probably – I couldn't probably curl. I couldn't bench what you probably curl. How's that sound?
Right.
In fact, you know what? When I go to Ignition, and if you're there, we'll try it. We'll see how much you can curl, and then I'll see how much I can bench, and I guarantee you probably outdo me by 50 pounds. So, you know, I mean, looking at this, I always ask all the guys to come on the show, Brian. I mean, if we put you in an NFL uniform and put you under the helmet and we didn't know that was you out there, who are you going to remind us the most that plays on Sundays today?
I'm going to say Ed Reed, just the way he changes the game.
Nice.
That was always my big thing when I played was, you know, to change the game, you know, and I had quite a bit of interceptions in my career. And, you know, obviously it wasn't all me. You know, I had a great D-line and linebackers to help me out with that. But, you know, he's also, you know, he's the guy I look up to when, you know, when I watch games. You know, he's the guy anyway in the offseason. We got a couple Ravens games in the office, at the football office, and I watched quite a bit of his games. But that's who
nice,
I
nice.
If someone said, hey, you play like Ed Reed, you know, it'd be something special to me.
No, that's excellent. And how about have you heard of any All-Star invites or anything? I mean, East-West Shrine Game or Texas First Nations Senior Bowl or anything
yeah,
yet?
Yeah, I got invited to play in the East-West Shrine Game. I got invited to that
nice.
Last week.
So, and what's that play. Like? I mean, you get a phone call?
I actually got it sent. Well, my agent told me, and then it got sent to our football office here at Kent State.
Nice. And I mean, you kind of pinch yourself right now, Brian. I mean, it's you know, it moves so fast after after your final game in college. I mean, are you kind of shocked at how much is coming at you so quick?
Oh, I am. To be honest, you know, it is crazy because it just seems like as soon as my game was over, you know, no agents, I got that process out of the way. You know, took a break, started working out again, and now I'm graduating, and you got invited to play in an East-West game, and so everything's coming fast, you know. I'm excited, but at the same time, you know, I'm also humbled by it. So I'm just ready to go, to be honest with you.
Yeah, definitely. I know I enjoyed the games I got to see you play at Kent State. I know I really enjoyed you. You always brought it every week. I mean, there was never a game where you were wondering, you know, where you were at. I mean, you were in on every play. You always heard that name being called afterwards. I mean, looking at Cabrani and those guys, I mean, the atmosphere at Kent State, I mean, is there going to be one thing that you kind of really miss, you know, about school, even if it's non-football related? I mean, is there something you're just going to miss about being in college?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I'm definitely going to miss the coaches and, you know, the camaraderie with the players. So, you know, that's the biggest thing. We didn't have, you know, we had a great atmosphere, student body always showed up. But more than anything, you know, it's definitely going to be the coaches and the players I'm going to miss.
Nice. And, you know, in the last few years with Kent State, I mean, you have Joshua Cribbs, you had Julian Edelman, you had Jameson Quantz last season, I mean, James Harrison years ago, you know, these Abram Elam for the Browns. I mean, it's like these guys play so well in the NFL, but they don't get a lot of attention going through this process. I mean, is it something you guys ever talk to each other about?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's kind of funny that, you know, you mentioned it because Julian's my roommate. He's Monica Brownie's roommate when he was here. Us three lived together. So, you know, we got to see how he went through the process. Because, you know, he was really off the radar. And then, you know, we've seen how he trained and, you know, how he took care of his body. And then he did real well at the pro day, his pro day. And, you know, we still talk to him once a week, you know, for every game we talk to him. And, you know, that's a ton of advice coming from one of your best friends. And also Jack Williams, who plays for, you know, the Lions now. I played with him when I was a freshman. He was a senior. He's actually downstairs in my living room right now. So, you know, I kind of get all this experience from, you know, some of the young guys that kind of, you know, mentored me when I got here. You know, it's really beneficial to me. And, you know, they'll tell you how it is. You know, one thing, you start asking people to kind of tell you what you want to hear. But these guys, you know, you're one of your better friends, you're either going to like it or you're going to have to deal with it. And so I'm glad to have them around me, the experience to have. It really helps.
No, definitely. I mean, having guys like that have been through it, then, especially if you're close to them, you know you're going to get the honest answer, and, you know, they're looking out for your best interest, and that's what the most important thing is. I had Julian on the show a couple times when he was going through the process, and I honestly, not to toot my own horn, but I hyped Julian Edelman up. I mean, I wrote stuff on him almost, you know, I mean, you can only write so much, but You know, I talked about whatever team he goes to, people are going to look in the paper and they're going to look at his name going, who the heck is this kid? And I said, but when it's all said and done, they're going to be like, I love having this kid on our team. Because, I mean, who's the kid? Who's the Oakland Raiders? Charlie Fry. Charlie Fry was training with him in the Akron. He was working with Charlie. And Fry was adamant. He goes, this kid has it. He goes, this kid's going to make it in the NFL. And he was dead serious because he was working him out as a wide receiver, throwing him passes. And, Charlie Fry was right, man. Julian, really carving a nice down for himself. Well, before we let you go, Brian, I appreciate you taking some time, but we have a little thing we like calling sweeping the corners. It's getting all four corners, trying to find a little bit about something Brian Lainhart that we might not know. You ready to go with that?
I'm ready.
All right. Who is on your team, who has the funniest nickname, and why did they get that nickname?
Probably the funniest nickname. Dang, I don't know if y'all would say. Valentine is one of our corner's names.
Who's Valentine?
Kirk Belgrade.
Okay. How'd he get it?
I think because it's his real name.
Oh, that's funny. And for you, would you rather be the lead singer of a boy band or a Mel Runway model?
Lead singer of a boy band, no doubt.
Nice. And you know what? I've actually, you know, some of those guys out there are very, very proud of their bodies. So they like being, you know, I think they'd actually, if they didn't play football, I think they'd want to be runway models, to be honest with you. another question for you is if you could take out any female celebrity out to dinner, just out to dinner, who would you like to take?
Jessica Biel.
Biel. Jessica Alba got a vote earlier today, just so you know. So you're our third player spotlight show. So Biel and Alba have got a tie. And the final question before I let you go today, Brian, is who was the best trash talker you went up to during your time in college?
The best. There's been a couple of them that we got.
Hello?
Best one I went against.
Brian, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
No, I think we lost him.
Oh, we lost him.
Well, you know that's interesting. He talked about Julian Edelman in the process of going through that whole draft thing, and I think that plays a big role for these kids to have somebody to talk to, especially if you have your roommate. Like you said, you live with them. At least you know a guy who went through the water, and
he had another one down in his living room.
Yeah, so he's definitely
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, so he definitely knows what he's doing. And I wish we would have lost him. I'd like to find out who the best trash talker was for him, because like I said, 4 years. College football. I'm sure you've
run into quite a few characters.
And the Max had some pretty talented kids too.
Yeah.
I mean, Freddie Barnes. Think of all the. I'm trying to. I mean, got James Starks. Who's the kid? Roosevelt from Buffalo.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of thinking some of the guys he might have went up against. And so like I said, and like I said, that was Brian Lainhart, the second team All Mac free safety. He joined us here on the College Football Insider Show. And earlier, if you guys are late joining in, you can always podcast it. Go to the blogtalkradio.com, All Access Football, College Football Insiders. You're going to be able to podcast that, download it, and listen to it 1,000 times. It'll make our ratings go up. That's always a good thing. And like I said, a lot going on. I mean, college football is wrapping up. I mean, Jay, let's talk a little bit. I mean, Auburn, Oregon, a lot of hype. I mean, I'm not going to say I felt bad that Denard Robinson kind of really didn't get any attention towards the end. I mean, I know Michigan wasn't but I mean they did reach a bowl game, which for their standards right now is pretty lofty. Cause,
very nice.
I mean, I think you ask anybody. I don't think Michigan fans or Michigan themselves thought they might make a bowl game, which is really.
Especially with that defense they had this year too.
Yeah.
Denard Robinson was a one man show.
Yeah. But I would say that they were the most entertaining team to watch because all their games was like it looked like you were playing on an Xbox or a PS3. I mean, it was like 66-70. You know, in fact, I think a good stat, anyone out there wants to do stats if you're bored, start following everything that the Michigan basketball was from now till the thing and see how many times Michigan football team outscores the basketball team. Because, I mean, they put up some pretty crazy
numbers. Some gaudy numbers.
Gaudy numbers, yeah. I know they could probably be a lot of Georgetown fullers if they like to play that stagnant defense. They could put that up. And then, yeah, I mean, Cam Newton, I mean, he was phenomenal. There's no question about
unbelievable.
That. I mean, you know, I mean, Newton was strong. Michael James, I mean, you got some star power in that title game. Andrew Luck, I mean, people love him. I mean, he's the hot name right now. I mean, he surpassed Ryan Mallett. Mallett was the guy going in, you know, but Luck's kind of really. And then, you know, you have – so, I mean, there's a lot of nice stories. I don't know where I'm going with this, but, you know, I think I was just looking kind of at the college season kind of as a wrap-up as the bowl week started. You know, I wish Robinson would have kind of stayed on the radar because when they were 4-0 or 3-0, they were, you know,
his award to lose.
Yeah, it was his award to lose. And I don't know if he really did anything not to just be in contention.
Get invited to New York.
Yeah, at least get invited to New York because, I mean, there was three other guys that got invited that they knew they weren't going to win anyway.
Yeah.
So, and that's a whole other issue for a whole other day, I think, personally. But, you know, and then you know, it's not going to change, but then you just look at the teams. And all MVP awards or Heismans or anything you're going to do, I mean, it always comes down to success. You know, I mean, you're never going to grab a guy off a 4-8 team and make him the Heisman winner. But, I mean, you know, you got two guys in the national title game. You know, you had Boise State right there prior to the loss to Nevada, you know. And then you have
Andrew Luck.
So, I mean, I think that leaves a lot of a lot of guys out, but you know, I think for the most part, I don't know what you would think of this. I think it was kind of a down year in college football. I mean, it, obviously, it wasn't just a home run team.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean, obviously, you look. I think Auburn started at 22 preseason as a ranking, and Oregon. I mean, Oregon was up there, but they weren't the team that everybody thought was going to be in there.
Yeah.
So I think it's a total surprise at this point.
Yeah, and then a team like Alabama. So, you know, it's like Alabama and Auburn flip-flop.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I think if you would have thought, well, who's going to go 9-3, 13-0? Everyone.
Yeah.
Everybody would have picked Alabama, but that wasn't the case. I mean, three losses up for Alabama. Three losses?
No one saw that coming.
You know?
No one. Especially, yeah. I mean, Ingram was hurt a little bit, but
yeah.
Other than that, I mean,
and I got that guy named Trent Richardson. So you know me, where we're going with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't think they were going to miss a beat. They didn't really, they whatever undefeated prior to that. I mean, with Ingram coming back, yeah. But you thought with Ingram, Julio Jones, I mean, Beal. Did they got the Beal kid? Or is he at Oklahoma? I'm just Jeremy Beal. I'm thinking. Yeah, I think he's at Oklahoma. But anyways, I mean, you got Jones, you had Trent, you had Mark.
Darius, that big defensive tackle they got there. I mean,
yeah, they got some talented guys there. I mean, and like I said, but it wasn't meant to be. For you, who was the biggest shock of the year? I mean, if you say disappointment, who? I mean, you're looking at these teams.
You have to. I mean, first off, you'd have to pick Alabama.
Yeah.
I mean, coming into the season, number one, dominant team coming back, dominant core.
Boss.
Yeah.
Max. One loss.
Yeah.
Max. And that loss probably comes in the SEC title game, if you're going
to... Yeah, exactly. And secondly, you'd have to say Boise State. I mean, they got through the first couple weeks of the season, which, I mean, they had Virginia Tech in order. You think, no way is any of these other teams going to catch them, and then they have a stumble against a solid Nevada team in a BCS game.
Yeah, that was a huge loss. I mean, yeah, you really talk about... when you look at these, I think that's where you kind of know that these are kids still. They're young men, and... You know, I think that pressure, how so many times do you see that new number one get knocked off? And I think, Boise State, I mean, they had to come back and win against Virginia Tech, but they did it on the road. That was a huge game. You know, and at the time, that was a huge game. You can't look back and say it wasn't, because at the time, it was huge. Like you said, and then they have that one game to seal the deal. Almost everything you have to do. All the naysayers, all the people that say you don't deserve to be here, all the people that are questioning your... And you lose. And it just, it's like the whole bottom falls out.
I still feel bad for that Boise State kicker. I still feel bad for him.
You got to feel bad for him. I mean, that stuff haunts you. It's, you know. Like, You know, I got my brain turned
off from the past.
Yeah, I've been writing stuff all day. This is my second show. Not that I'm my best every time, but yeah, my best ain't that good. So, people listening out there. But I mean, for me, I think the intriguing stuff was Notre Dame, and then Michigan because they're a two-story program.
Yeah.
And I mean, they did improve. I mean, they both won bowl games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I thought those were the intriguing things, and I like seeing Oregon. I've always kind of just, you know, it's just a different face. Not that Auburn's been there a lot, but I mean, they have. But
Oregon's been knocking at the door for years.
Yeah.
You know, it's nice to see them finally get in there.
Yeah.
Same with Auburn. I mean, back you look at the Cadillac Williams, Ronnie Brown days, and they should have been arguably in the national championship that year and got left out. So it's nice to see the two teams in there that are in there.
Yeah, definitely. I have no questions about, you know, who deserves to be in there between Auburn and Oregon and Auburn. I think they're both more than well-deserved teams. And, you know, like I said, I mean, I just don't think the SEC was that good. Not that I think the Pac-10 was that good, but, you know, when they start just labeling the SEC,
yeah,
it's like gives you that right, the title to do whatever you want, the golden key to the city. Oh, you played at the SEC, go do whatever you want. You walk all over us. You should just, you know, you earn the right. I don't believe that, dude. You got to play it out.
Well, this is a great time to find out. I mean, bowl season, we're going to find out how these conferences stack up against each other.
Yeah. I mean, how do you think in the end? I mean, you know, I mean, you got, let's see, you got Virginia Tech, Stanford.
I love Stanford.
So you're going to go Pac-10,
yeah,
over ACC. Title game.
I think Auburn's too much. I think
you still that
Nick Ferrer
that
up the middle,
that SEC defense that stopped all those awesome SEC teams this year.
But see, like, I mean, it could be a 92-90
right
game.
Yeah, but see, it's just in there. It's embedded in our head.
You're right. Just teams
of the SEC.
You know, and I think a player that's getting forgotten in that game, too, is Darren Thomas, the quarterback. I mean,
from Oregon.
I mean, this is a kid they didn't even know was going to start at the beginning of the year.
You know, you bring that up, and a guy like from Auburn, the quarterback for him, I mean, I don't think he's really gotten a lot of pub. I mean, I'm joking. Yeah, I mean, a guy like Cam Newton, Darren Thomas, I mean, that is going to be a great match.
Yeah.
I really have to, you know, and just, you know, I think the thing I'm excited about this title game for is they're two good teams. It's not like you have a David versus Goliath. You can both say they're Goliath. They're from respectable conferences. You have that going for you. And they're good, but it's not LSU and Ohio State.
Yeah.
It's not LSU and Ohio State. It's not all, you know what I mean? It's just different. I mean, the colors, it's going to be like a blue and orange and a green.
It's going to be exciting to see the uniforms Oregon wear for that game.
Yeah.
Because you know Phil Knight's busting out something for them.
Yeah, what are they wearing? That's a great take. Yeah, what are they wearing?
I don't know. Phil Knight's emptying those pocketbooks, though, I'm sure, for those uniforms.
I ain't going to lie. Those are my favorite uniforms.
Unbelievable.
You know, those are my favorite uniforms.
Most games just turn on to see what kind of uniform, what color combination they're going to wear.
Well, even the ones, the West Virginia game when they played Pitt, those were kind of tough, too.
Yeah, they were.
And I know Nike had a hand in that, and, you know, the kids, they actually,
they were very nice. All season long, I mean, the big games, they had nice wrinkles in the uniforms.
Yeah. The line on this Oklahoma game might have changed, but Connecticut, Oklahoma, I mean.
I think Connecticut's in for a rough time. I mean, this Oklahoma team can put up points and put up points fast. And they've never seen a team like this with DeMarco Murray running the ball at them. I hate to say it, but I can't pick against Oklahoma.
You could almost say the Big East is like the NFC West of this college bowl system.
Definitely.
That's, you know, you kind of win by default when they're from this conference. Mm-hmm. And that's not to take away from Connecticut, but you're talking about the teams that they're going up against. It's just a different caliber.
Just a down year in the Big East this year.
Yeah, it was. And I was surprised about that because there was some talent,
Pitt was supposed to be loaded this year. I mean, Pitt, you look at that team, they're just stocked with future first, second, and third round players, possibly in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, Romeus goes down, it really hurts them, and Deion Lewis not having the year he did really hurt them this year.
Mm-hmm. I think that's what wants that to him to resign. Was too many close, but not getting it over the hump. Because the talent is there. I mean, the guy can recruit. I mean, keep him on and let him recruit.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually thinking if you would have kept Cooper just a recruiter at Ohio State, let Tressel coach it. Because I don't question, Cooper had better talent.
Yeah.
I mean, the talent, if you look at the NFL careers,
yeah.
Eddie George's, I mean, they're just Galloway's.
Dan
Wilkinson, yeah. I mean, these guys, compared to what's in there now,
yeah.
I mean, like I said, Tressel's had more success.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? We could go on all day about this, but I mean, he had the Miami game, which I thought was one of the worst calls I've ever seen. I've talked to people who, you know, big time people that have said it. And I wouldn't say their names because I don't want to get them in trouble. You got to that bowl game, you won it. But if you take that away,
yeah.
I mean, you know.
I mean, that's one of those games, that Miami game. They play that 10 times. They lose 9 of them, I think,
yeah.
Ohio State.
Yeah.
And they just got, I mean, yeah. They got the one they needed, though.
Yeah, they got that one they needed. It was, what, first year? It's the second year.
Second year.
And right off the bat, boom. And, you know, I mean, granted, I'm not taking say Ohio State's not one of the top teams in the nation, because they are. I mean,
yeah.
But they're very successful. But I think when you look back, I mean, Cooper had some pretty.
And it just seemed the top 10 picks were littered with Ohio State.
Ohio State.
Every year.
I mean, the draft was just
yeah.
filled with Ohio State guys.
Yeah.
But he could just never get it done. Tressel, like I said, I don't know if the guys are that off the charts compared to what Cooper had, but Tressel does more with what he has, maybe,
yeah.
with Cooper. But, like, I always think about those two schools. I mean, Cooper could
recruit.
Cooper could recruit. So, well, hey, like I said, I mean, another show, we had Bill Hancock, the director of the BCS, joining us tonight. And like I said, you know, I love having him on. I do.
Sounds like a great guy.
Oh, yeah, he's just a great guy. And, he doesn't kind of beat around the bush. And, you know what, I'm not going to bird dog him, hound him on goofy questions when he's asked that, because I'm inviting him on. You know what, I'm not going to invite somebody on my show.
Dog.
The bird dog,
mm-hmm.
you know. I that's not the way I work. And like I said, and plus, you know what? I think not that I have him on the show and I'd bird dog him anyways, but I can honestly say, I mean, I'm pretty happy with the way it went.
Totally.
So I think the two teams that are deserving to be in the title game are, and today, I am on the bandwagon. It's for the players. I mean, that's my, like I said, I could change my mind tomorrow and be on some rant and raving about the playoff system. But I, you know, really, if I'm a college football player, I know I get to go now. Like Bill was talking about, the kids from Kansas going to New York.
Yeah.
I want to go play in Hawaii, boy.
Yeah.
If I'm at Auburn, I'm like, let's tank this thing. Let's not go to Arizona. Let's go to Hawaii. And then if you're going to Detroit, you got to win.
Yeah.
You got to get in. So. Because we live in the Northeast, so, I mean, it's snow and it's cold. So, but, you know, the people from Toledo, they're used to it. That's going to be just a hop, skip, jump
right
away. People from Florida International,
they're in for a treat.
Yeah, but at least they're inside. That's not enough.
But they will be inside.
So big for them. Unless,
the roof collapses.
Unless the roof collapses. I don't want to say that. But, so, hey, that's another show wrap-up. Again, next week, Gamble the Vamps. And Kyron, Kelron Sykes, I'm sure they'll be back and better than ever, taking you through another hour of College Football Insiders. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing some time with us, taking the time out of your busy day. I know there's a lot of other things you can be doing. Remember, NFLDraftBible.com. Today we had Curtis Marsh on, Jeremy LaFrance from Akron last week. And I know, some stuff was said today, a lot more players. Those that are going to be. Hope you don't get that done sometime tomorrow and get it up for you. I'm your show host, Bo Marchand. I want to thank Jay Davis for stepping in, helping me out for this long hour show. We tried to fill it in and give you some good guests, give you some good college football talk, some fun talk, and, just have a good, safe, Merry Christmas. I don't know if I'm doing any of the College Football Insiders before then. I think Dan will be back to the normal schedule. Thanks for taking some time and listening, and we're going to rock jam it right on out of here.
Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Get ready to rumble! Get ready to rumble! Pump up the heat, pump it up, pump it up!
Y'all ready for this?
I like